Welcome to Dissembled, the official podcast of the Big Glasgow Comic Page, where we talk about news, reviews, and interviews in the world of comic books. I'm your host, Ian Lynn, and today, as always, I'm joined by Alan Todd.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, I'm also joined by Massimo Castelli.
Hi, guys.
Yep. We have a couple of things planned for the podcast today. We're going to start out with our kind of typical thing if we're going to talk about things that we've, you know, seen or reviewed in the past week. And we're going to go into news. And if all goes well, we should be about, I don't know, a clean hour or so, not taking up too much of anyone's time. With that said, before we get into the nitty gritty, how are you gentlemen doing today?
Not bad, sir. Yourself?
I'm good. And Massimo?
Good, yeah. I've been typing hard at some reviews this week that we'll probably get into a little bit. But
yeah, you and Dan have been killing it with the reviews. You guys, I'm just a lazy bum. You guys are just pumping them out.
Dan is a monster.
Like, Dan is a machine, and I'm really sad that he can't be here with us because he's doing some stuff about getting a new house. So we're just gonna dive right into the nerdy stuff right here and talk about stuff that we've been kind of into over the past week. I haven't really read a lot. It's been a busy week, but what I did do is I went back and I rewatched Batman Begins for the first time in about a year. And man, I know The Dark Knight gets all of the credit for Heath Ledger, Aaron Eckhart. I actually kind of hate Bruce Wayne in that movie. He's super whiny. I don't love it. Batman Begins might be the best Batman movie ever made. Not the best. Dark Knight's the best, like, crime movie, maybe the best Joker movie. Batman Begins is the best Batman movie.
I kind of agree, because I remember being very young when Batman Begins came out.
And
I remember that being, like, kind of my first exposure. Like, being way too young to watch this film when it came out on DVD. And this being, like, a very scary film, and then rewatching it later on, and I know that there's so much love for Dark Knight, and there's even a set of fans out there that love The Dark Knight Rises. I don't know why, but it's a thing.
Weirdos.
Weirdos. But Batman Begins is definitely, I think, as an origin story for Batman, the best telling of it, and in the kind of recent pop culture.
100. Well, it's really the only origin story for Batman that we have on film. I mean, Tim Burton's Batman, we jump right into, I mean, he's early days, but he's already in the cape and cowl. Zack Snyder's Batman, obviously, he's been there, done that. It's basically Dark Knight Returns Batman, except he murders people. Whereas Batman Begins, I mean, we get his training abroad. We even see that Bruce spends some time in the criminal element, which I don't think is something that I really hit on in the comic books until Nolan got there. He trained under various masters, but I don't remember any comics where it was like, yeah, no, Bruce did crime for a while just to, like, understand it, which I thought was a cool idea. We get the construction of the bat suit, you know, with him and Alfred kind of like, well, we're going to order these parts from China. We're going to order these parts from here. We're going to have to order like 10,000 of them so that it doesn't look suspicious. And then they're jank on top of that, the first shipment. But I just imagine Bruce having like a warehouse full of bat cows. Lucius Fox is a great implementation. When Batman Begins came out, I wasn't that steep in the Batman lore. I didn't really know who Lucius Fox was, but just Morgan Freeman, pitch-perfect casting, introducing him to the mythos as like an integral part of the early days of Batman is really great. And years ago, watching Batman Begins, I thought it was boring because I was like, oh, I just want to see the Joker. Just show me the Joker. Going back and watching now, Scarecrow is the perfect first. Well, obviously the main villain of the movie is Ra's al Ghul or Ra's al Ghul, but Scarecrow really is the perfect first villain for Batman because his entire first year, his entire setup in that movie is based around fear. It's about him conquering fear. It's about him using fear. And so, of course, his main antagonist in that film, fear would be their weapon. So it's the perfect antagonist for his kind of starting off days.
Yeah, Kelly Murphy was really good in that role as well, and the fact that he came back for each of the subsequent films was quite good.
Oh man, he's so unsettling. His performance is just menacing enough. He tried out for Batman originally.
Yeah,
he auditioned for Bruce Wayne. But I think I'm glad he actually got the role of Scarecrow. And before we move on here, I would be remiss not to mention that I really love that movie's version of Gotham City. We don't get that Gotham in The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises. It's just Chicago. In that first movie, we have the train. It's much more gothic. It's mostly at night. A lot of the subsequent movies are during the day. I really love the design for Gotham in that movie as a character.
Yeah, it looked good. It looked great, which you could say about all three films, but as you say, like, Gotham itself looked amazing in the first one. When you said about Christopher Nolan, Batman Begins, I could do with less Christopher Nolan in all of my superhero stuff from now on. Like, I've had enough of realism.
Yeah.
I'm not interested.
I agree. He had his trilogy, and he did a great job in two of those three movies. The third one, I don't really blame him for. Obviously, the death of Heath Ledger kind of threw a monkey wrench into things. It's still a serviceable movie, but maybe we'll talk about Dark Knight Rises in a couple of weeks. I've got my problems with that film. I'd love to have a whole podcast just talking about the Nolan trilogy, because there's a lot more to say. You know, I've got my 5 minutes. I kind of said my piece, but I'd love to come back to it at some point. All I can really say is, if you haven't watched Batman Begins in a while, give it another shot. It is a fantastic film. It's a great summation of Batman and Bruce Wayne as a character. It has really held up after 16 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's why I was a little kid watching it. But I that's what makes me really excited for the Robert Pattinson Batman, is the depiction of Gotham City.
Yes.
And how that's going to be, because obviously that is another thing, of that's kind of another retelling of the origin year one of Batman and stuff, and that's what makes me very hyped for that film. Just before we move on to other stuff, I just want to
definitely. Well, I mean, hey, you know, Massimo, while you're talking, what's been on your plate this week, man?
Well, yeah, I've been doing a bunch of news reviews for the site and stuff like that. I've not watched like that much TV because I've been kind of busy, but the stuff that I have been kind of reading and watching, it's been great. I have two reviews. I'll only talk about one in detail though. And the kind of one of my reviews that I did was for Milestone, the kind of return of Milestone Comics as an imprint within DC, which is phenomenal. It's fantastic. It's a really great reintroduction of these characters, and not into the main DC universe, but into their own separate universe again.
Okay, so they're kind of general, in their own separate offshoot Earth.
Back in the kind of Dakotaverse is what it's called, in the greater DC Omniverse.
And that's like Static Shock and Icon and all them, right?
Icons, Static Shock, Hardware, all that kind of stuff. They're really, really interesting characters. And if you want to maybe have a kind of prelude before they kind of release all the new series out in kind of August and April time, the issue zero is the place to start. But the main thing I want to talk about is a book called Proctor Valley Road, which is the first original series from Grant Morrison in about 5 or so years. And he's co-wrote it with a guy called Alex Child, who kind of new to the comic scene, but kind of has cut his teeth on writing various TV programs in the UK, like Holby City, if you know what that is, Americanian. It's a soap kind of thing, so like a soap opera kind of. And honestly, from this
first... I'm more upmarket, ER.
Yeah. the soap opera, sorry, not soap opera, the issue from the start is phenomenal. And it's what you take if you take rural America in the mid-1970s and combine it with gothic horror.
And sounds like Grant Morrison's bag.
It has some iconic Grant Morrison storytelling.
Is anyone on drugs at any point?
I think there's some insinuation and stuff like that of various different types of drugs, because it is obviously the 70s.
Yeah, it's not Grant Morrison unless someone is tripping. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But it's a brand new issue, the kind of limited series coming from Boom Studios. And it's really good. And it basically follows four teens called, they're all female crew, called August, Riley, Cora, and Jenny, and they basically want to go to a concert. I'm not going to spoil the concert, because it's a very 1970s thing. and they basically organise
the
these spook tours. Spook tours on the Proctor Valley Road, which is the most haunted stretch of road in America.
Of course.
And stuff starts to go wrong very, very quickly from the first
time. As it does when you drive on haunted roads. I really don't recommend it.
It is really phenomenal. I think it's Tamara Bonneville does the colouring, stuff like that. And I believe there's another phenomenal artist who I'm going to pull up. Her name is Naomi Franquez, I believe her name, or Franquez, I can't quite pronounce her name. She does really, like, really stylized 1970s art, and honestly, it's phenomenal. You can go read my review about it, or you can go read the book for yourself. Do both, exactly. But it is great, it's phenomenal. I suggest you guys check it out.
So that'll definitely be on your proverbial poll list going forward, you'd say.
Oh, definitely. I would love to get to review the following issues if the site will let me.
Well, I don't see who better to do it since you already did the first one. I think it's kind of weird to kind of swap reviews, but like one per... You may as well just do the whole thing. Just, you know, you're going to be our Proctor Valley Road guy. And every week I'm going to ask you, how is the book? Has anyone done drugs yet?
And I will respond, yes, always. It's the 70s, baby.
It's the 70s and it's Grant Morrison, so the answer is probably yes. Well, is there, just really quick, you know, anything else that's been on your radar?
Oh, for me, I have one other book, the review that will be due out in the following week, hopefully. I said last week I'd have it done, but Proctor Valley Road kind of took up most of my time. It's the first issue of the new America Chavez series in Marvel, and I really like this character. I don't really know much about her. I kind of know that she's from like a separate dimension in the whole Marvel Comics situation, but I'm really interested in learning about her, and I hope that the first issue is good.
Okay. Are you doing a review on that one?
Yes, I am. I'm going to be reviewing that for the site at some point this week.
Cool. Well, I look forward to reading that and finding out more, because I know absolutely nothing about Miss Chavez, so I'm always open to new books. Mr. Allen, what have you got for me?
Well, I'd just like to say I read the Milestone issue 0 as well and loved it. I'm really looking forward. I've been looking forward to them coming back for a few years now. It's been kind of held up with some.
Yeah. I was going to say, in terms of reading, a lot of the characters haven't appeared since before the New 52. So it's been almost a decade now since a lot of those characters have appeared inside continuity.
Maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe slightly longer ago than that, I bought almost every issue of the original Milestone run on eBay. It was going reasonably cheap for, I mean, it's like 150, 200 comics all in. I've yet to read them. I've picked up, like, skimmed through them, really nice art, and I'm excited to kind of see them back in a modern setting. So,
well, it sounds like maybe now's as good a time as any to kind of flip through that back catalog, man.
What I'm thinking, it's like a whole short box of comics, so there's a chunk of stuff to read there. But this week, I have
on top of everything else coming out.
Yeah, that's the thing with this hobby or, you know, passion, whatever the hell you want to call it, is it's like, once they've got you, right? There's always something new coming out, and there's always all the old stuff that you need to go back and look at, and it's never ending.
Right.
But this week, I've been catching up on a book that I've been buying since issue 1. Issue 6 is out, I'm sure, but I've never read it up until this morning. The Department of Truth. And if you like The X-Files, if you like mysteries, if you like conspiracy theories, if you like good comics, if you like good art, this is a must read. It's absolutely fantastic. James Tynion IV, he's the writer.
I mean, that's credibility right there. Tynion's great.
Yeah, I've not read much of his Batman stuff. I read the start of his Detective Comics because I liked the fact that it was like a team book with Batwoman and Robin and stuff like that.
Yeah, his Rebirth Detective Comics run was fantastic.
Yeah, no, like, anything that I've read of has been really good, so I feel bad I didn't keep up with it, but this one is fantastic. The art is phenomenal. It's Bill Sienkiewicz, it's David Mack, painted art, really beautiful, and it just, for this kind of murky world that you're in, it's just perfect. It's so good. It's Martin Simmons is the guy's name. He's done a fair few things which I haven't read. Dying is Easy with Joe Hill, you know, Stephen King's son.
Yeah.
The Immortal Hulk, he's done some issues of that with Al Ewing.
Ooh.
Which I've got a whole bunch of trades to read.
The Immortal Hulk does have some really good art in it.
I can't even remember who the main artist is, but he's amazing, and this guy is up there as well, so that's pretty good. But it starts off, like, the summary kind of had me hooked, and this is the reason I picked it up like 6 months ago or whatever. Cole Turner has studied conspiracy theories all his life, but he isn't prepared for what happens when he discovers that all of them are true, from the JFK assassination to flat earth theory and reptilian shapeshifters. One organization has been covering them up for generations. What is the deep, dark secret behind the Department of Truth? Best-selling writer James Tynion IV, debuts his first image ongoing series alongside breakout artist Martin Simmons. And if you missed out, then pack up the first trade, because obviously the first image trade is always slightly cheaper just to get you in the door. It is a phenomenal book. I don't want to say anything about what happens in it, because after page 4, which if you're not hooked in the book after page 3 or 4, whatever it is, the kind of opening, you don't like comics, you don't like mystery stories. It's just like, I turn to that page and you find out like a piece of information, it's just like,
that's,
and it gets weirder from there.
That's a pretty ringing endorsement from you, man.
Oh, it's superb. Like, absolutely loved it. I read 5 issues. I don't have issue 6 yet, but I read 5 issues just one after the other when I woke up this morning. So, perfect way to spend a Saturday.
So, it's definitely, I mean, it's a page turner, to say the least.
Oh, no question. No question.
And are we going to be seeing a review for that on the website at any time? Or
yeah,
maybe
I think I will. I think I will, but at the moment, my time has been taken up because I've decided, because we've got the Zack Snyder Justice League coming out on Thursday, which we're obviously going to talk about in a little bit.
Right.
I went back and rewatched Man of Steel, and I watched it in like 30, 40 second increments because I was taking notes. I have 18 pages of notes on Man of Steel here. For the thing that I'm
not to
write
be outdone.
Wow, Alan, look at you.
I hate that film. Like, I liked
it's,
it.
It's just, it's 15 pages of him going, this movie is terrible.
It pretty much is.
I hate this.
This is torture. It's a Chinese.
I took a lot of notes of the dialogue, so obviously that takes up a lot of it, but there are quite a few moments where I'm just going, Jesus, why? Like, what the hell is going on here? But I've done that, so I'm going to watch it all again with my notes and kind of, you know, pick up on any like themes and stuff like that I may have missed, although it's pretty heavy-handed, so I doubt that I missed much. And I'll write something up. I'm then going to watch Batman vs. Superman, which I think, as I've said before, is a film which I think is possibly the
better
worst
watch the
thing
Ultimate
that's
Edition.
Ever been done. No, it's too long. It's cinematic, because that's what I saw the first time around. So I'm watching the cinema release.
Your notes will be incomplete and also irrelevant.
I don't have the other one.
You lose all credibility, Alan.
You're gonna write a note that's like, this plot point doesn't make sense, and I'm gonna be like, well, if you'd watch the 3-hour version.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dude,
yeah.
It's torture.
I have a love-hate relationship with those films as well, because I really liked Man of Steel when it came out. And then as growing up, years later watching it, I realise they absolutely massacred several characters. And I think we'll probably talk about it when we talk about Justice League as well. The way in which they absolutely took a dump over all of Superman's lore for the past 70 odd years.
80. Yeah.
80 years, yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to talk about the Snyderverse. But speaking of superhero movies, what do you guys know about the Eternals? Just about the same for me. It's never been a Marvel property that I'm super familiar with. I have passing familiarity with the Eternals and Celestials and the Inhumans and all that kind of cosmic Marvel stuff that they haven't been focusing on as much over the past few years. But some new information about the upcoming Eternals movie came out over the week, which, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure in a world where COVID didn't happen, that movie would be out already.
Yeah, it's supposed to be November 2020.
That's what I thought. Man.
When
we can all go back into movie theaters, there's just going to be a deluge of movies coming out. No one's going to have time to watch all of them.
First world problems.
But some merchandise was revealed for the Eternals, where we got to take a look at some Celestials, and as well as the villain of the movie, which is another cosmic species, race, whatever you want to call it, the Deviants.
Are those the ones that appeared in Guardians of the Galaxy? Because the guy looks really similar. The guy who, if you look at the art they released, I could be entirely wrong, because as I said, I'm not super into the Eternals. But the guy who's in it, like when you go through Guardians of the Galaxy and you get the various stone visions that appear when the collector, the species that wields the Power Stone bears a fairly striking resemblance to the villain art that was released for Eternals. I could be wrong.
No, it's one of the Celestials. You're talking about the big kind of purple glowing being, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, it's, yeah, yeah. It's I'm trying to remember which one of these it is. It's either Gammon on the Gatherer. I don't think it's him. I think it's Zeran the Tester. So it's definitely one of those Celestials that you saw in Guardians. Yeah,
they definitely mention the Celestials in Guardians 1, don't they? Like, Nowhere. Isn't Nowhere in, like, the corpse of the Celestial?
Yeah, the head of
the
Celestial, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which gives you, I mean, if you go back and watch Guardians, that gives you some idea of how big those things are.
Oh, yeah, huge. They're huge.
Yeah, no, they're big. I mean, they have a head that's big enough to basically house a whole outpost. That'll be an interesting movie. I mean, I think a lot of people didn't know much about the Guardians before the movie came out either. Believe it or not, my introduction to the concept of the Guardians of the Galaxy was through a Sonic the Hedgehog comic book. Because they did an issue of the Sonic the Hedgehog comic, the American one, Archie, not the Fleetway UK one, for those that know the difference. But they did an issue that was like a Sonic the Hedgehog Elseworlds thing that was a pastiche of Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't realize it at the time because I was very small, not really into comic books yet. But, like, yeah, they do like a Star-Lord and a Yondu and a Groot. And I just didn't know who these characters were at the time. So I was like, oh, I guess it's Sonic the Hedgehog characters in space with weird costumes. Whatever, cool. I'm 8 years old. I don't know.
That's the thing, right? People are always going to go on about, like, oh, what's the best issue to start reading something? We had this discussion last week about X-Men and things like that. When you're a kid, it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you pick up issue
you just start.
400 or something, and you're like, okay, this guy is doing this thing. Cool. Like, there's no need. We just... Stan, we're doing a little bit more of that these days.
Well, it's even better. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, you pick up an X-Men comic, you have no idea what's going on. It's like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to, like, go to my local comic book shop and pick up some trades and ask around. Now you can just Wikipedia that thing.
True,
oh,
yeah.
Who's this guy? I can't think of, like, a lesser-known X-Men. I keep thinking Wolverine, and everyone knows who Wolverine is.
Who is this Caliban character? Like, what is this? And then you're like, oh my god, he's been about since 1984 or something. Like,
exactly. Got maybe, like, okay, Forget Me Not maybe is one you could think of. One of those ones. If you
I've already forgotten what you said.
Forget Me Not is one of those characters they retconned into the Marvel comics and is the main reason, apparently, for most of the X-Men Deus Ex Machina moments.
It's a mind wipe.
Yeah, so if you don't look at him, you don't remember he's there. So he's on the team, but every time
really
you look at him, it was stupid. It's a stupid thing. It was more of a pastiche, but it kind of was officially, it was like Marvel canon at some point, you know, one of those books that got released. I was going to say, on the subject of the X-Men and also kind of the Eternals, there have been rumours about the possible X-Men film that Marvel are going to be producing, and it's not going to go by the name X-Men. There's been some rumors. It's going to go by the name The Mutants, in a similar vein to The Eternals, because I believe it was Victoria Alonso said in like 2019, one of the kind of executives from Marvel, of kind of production. She said that the term X-Men is outdated. I mean, for a lot of people to believe that going for the kind of neutral term of the mutants is probably the best way of doing it.
I mean, they could just call it X people.
I think the mutants has got slightly a better ring to it, though. Like,
I'm so hesitant about Marvel rumors at this point and theories. WandaVision burned me, man. It burned me real bad, and it's not WandaVision's fault. We did this to ourselves.
100%. It burned all of us. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit what's-his-name's fault. I'm having the brain moment. The guy that
Paul
plays
Bettany?
Vision. Paul Bettany,
Paul
yes.
Bettany.
It's a little bit his fault.
Yeah, that was top trolling. Well done, Bettany.
It wasn't, it wasn't ideal for him to come out and say something like that, and it just couldn't pay off because he didn't... I mean, he's been in the franchises for, what, like, 10...
13 years.
11 years now?
13. He was right back to Iron Man 1, so 2008.
Yeah, it's the voice of Jarvis. Yeah. The guy should know that the Marvel fanbase will take anything anyone says and will hyper-analyze it down to the point where theories will spin off like crazy.
Yes, we are absolutely rabid, insane people. Also, because, I mean, that's really all we've got as far as the mutants go. There's no real other information. We know they're going to bring the X-Men to the MCU at some point. We just don't know when.
I thought I'd just mention it just because of, like, we're talking about the Eternals and kind of that kind of film. Because Unfortunately, I don't know that much about it, so I feel like to talk about it would be a disservice to the source material.
Right.
Because it was Kirby, right? Jack Kirby?
Jack Kirby, yeah.
Some of the ideas for some of the Eternals?
Oh, yeah.
I believe so. That's the dude as far as like early Marvel cosmic stuff goes.
So like there's obviously a long line of like you've got like 50 years of canon or 60 years of canon right there that I don't want to be ignorant about. So, you know, that kind of thing of but I am still excited for it. It's not my favorite Marvel film on the slate. It's upcoming. If we want to discuss about that at some point, I'll tell you my favorite upcoming Marvel film. Or I could say it now. It's up to you guys if we want to move on to another discussion topic.
Well, we're gonna stay on the topic of Marvel for a minute here, because the other thing that is technically news, but I feel like it's kind of obvious, is the showrunners of Falcon and Winter Soldier have come out and said definitively that is going to be a one and done, one series. There is no season two planned. Just on account of, it's much like WandaVision. It was like, there's no season two. Well, duh. These are basically 8-hour long Marvel films chopped up into pieces. There's no room for a season two. It's got a very singular, condensed story.
Yeah, I think anybody thinking that there's going to be season one, season two, season three, and so on of any of these is kind of just a bit naive or whatever. Like, it definitely seems as if these were going to be bridges between, you know,
exactly.
In the case of WandaVision, bridges between Endgame and Doctor Strange and, you know, Captain America, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, which...
Endgame and...
Whatever's next for those characters.
I'm actually really looking forward to that series.
The trailer's released, right? The past few days. So I,
is it
the first
Gandalf
in a while,
one?
laughed so hard at one of the clips they used. And it's the big three.
It's the wizards, robots, or
the
aliens.
Gandalf one. It's wizards. It's it's so good. I love the idea. It's just such a different show.
Definitely. Well, and Winter Soldier and Falcon, you got some of their chemistry in the Captain America movies and in Infinity War, and they play off each other really well. Those actors have really great chemistry, and I'm really looking forward to this show being kind of a buddy cop espionage sort of thing. Because, I mean, Winter Soldier and Civil War are two of my favorite Marvel movies. Winter Soldier probably higher up. I mean, things coming out of Marvel. Massimo, what is your most anticipated upcoming Marvel film?
It's Shang-Chi, because I cannot wait for the Marvel to do a proper martial arts film, and I'm just so excited, because they've got like the cast looks phenomenal. They've got such like I've seen what they've leaked to the set photos have been fantastic. Like of course you've got like Multiverse of Madness and like the upcoming Thor.
Are
film
you
as well.
Are you telling me you didn't care for Iron Fist?
I was a big apologist for that show when it first came out. but on more rewatches,
for those listening, Alan is giving it a big stinky thumbs down.
Exactly. It just didn't do the source material justice, and I feel like Shang-Chi is going to be the Iron Fist film that we never got, with such like great, like, because I've looked into loads of Shang-Chi stuff, and I'm probably going to start picking up some of the collections and stuff about that character, because I'm just so excited for it.
I keep forgetting that movie's coming, to be honest.
That was one of the first backup strips that I read way back in the day. I mean, 20 years before you were born, Massimo, they had Shang-Chi as the backup strip to, it was either Secret Wars 2 or Spider-Man or something, I can't remember, but it was like, I liked the main strip, but I loved the Shang-Chi stories. They were just so good, like characters like Razor Fist, and, you know, it was like a spy thing and a kung fu movie, and it was just 8 or 9 year old me lost his mind for that. And for years, they couldn't reprint it because of the rights for Fu Manchu, who was Shang-Chi's dad. But a few years back, they must have ironed it out. I don't know exactly how. But they've released it all in omnibus format. So you get, like, I think 3 for Master of Kung Fu and 2 for Deadly Hands of Kung Fu. I bought them all. I've not read them yet, but I bought them as they came out. And they're just sitting there, and they keep going, just read me, Alan.
I need to get on it though.
Once I've read the first one, I'll show you.
I'm as big a Bruce Lee mark as anyone, so I'm definitely looking forward to this movie, thinking about it now.
When you said a minute ago, you kind of forget that one's coming out. I'm the same. everything.
A little bit. I feel like Marvel hasn't really marketed it much.
It's probably because it's so far down the
line. I feel like it's such a breath of fresh air, though.
Yeah.
But it's such a breath of fresh air for Marvel, and I feel like they need more films like that, like the same way as Doctor Strange was and Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, those two films opened up complete different doors for the MCU to take on different forms. And I feel like Shang-Chi, or I think it's the Shang-Chi and is it the Legend of the Ten Rings, or what the full title, I can't remember. It's
we're going to get a real Mandarin.
I feel like that'll be, if we get that, phenomenal. But if we get another amazing film, I think it's like Fing Fang Foom.
Yeah.
Is the dragon. Big dragon dude. Yeah.
That'd be pretty tight to see on a film. I'd like that.
Yeah,
I want to see a guy punch a dragon in the face. Why not?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be great. In my opinion, I know it's so far down the line, but out of the possible Marvel projects, it's a bit different than the rest of them, and it feels like it'll add like a rejuvenation to the MCU a lot better.
Definitely. Not to scurry off the topic of Marvel here, but have you guys ever shared your Netflix password with someone?
Yes.
I've had. I've been the one who's had the password being shared with them because I'm a cheapo student and couldn't afford Netflix for a long time.
Yep, that's the life of a broke student. I too have been the one to both share and have my password shared with, and that may not be an option in the near future because Netflix is testing some technology to sniff out the password sharers among us, which... I don't know how they're going to make that work. Because if you think about it, you can have Netflix on anything now, right? You can have it on your laptop, you can have it on your Xbox, you can have it on your phone, your tablet. I watch Netflix on my Oculus headset. That's where I watch Batman Begins.
That's crazy.
That's mad.
It was actually, it's really cool. The Netflix VR experience, it like puts you in this... like virtual living room with a fire going off to the side and there's like snowy mountains outside. You have a big screen. Like,
yeah, that sounds amazing.
It's a cool way to do it. I just sat in my bed and it was like I was watching a 60-inch TV playing Batman Begins.
In the Swiss Alps.
Yes. That's pretty much like you're like in a Swiss log cabin. It's really cool. The point being, what if you do take your phone to a Swiss log cabin? Like, is Netflix going to be like, oh, you're not in your home. You can't use your Netflix account. Like, how's this going to work?
Yeah, that's...
A bit short-sighted, to be honest. I feel like it's not going to work. Like, I think the reason why they're trialing it is because they don't know if it's going to work yet. And I don't know. I feel like it'll probably be quite negative.
Yeah.
For Netflix. Because I know, obviously, password share is not super legal. But for a lot of people, it is just how you watch Netflix.
Yeah, for a lot of people, there's a certain factor of... There are definitely people where, yes, they could afford their own Netflix account and they don't. And, you know, whatever. If you put this into effect, they'll probably get their own. Fine. But there's plenty of people where if you put this technology into effect, they're not going to get their own Netflix account. They're just going to stop watching Netflix. Like, you're just going to have more piracy. I'm just going to go onto certain websites and press certain buttons. And
if you happen to get, like, certain shows.
Certain websites where, you know, you don't have to pay for said.
Actually, speaking of that, even if you are in your own home, what if you have a VPN?
Ah.
Yes, a pirate's life for me. That's what we're getting at. Don't steal, kids.
Yeah.
If you can help it.
Unless.
Don't steal things.
Say no to drugs.
Exactly. Don't do drugs. Don't steal things.
Winners don't steal drugs.
Exactly. Try not to.
Exactly. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this.
I can't all blow us up in their face.
I think the idea is they send you a text or email verification code, which is, I mean, that's what bank accounts do. That's what Google does. That's what Amazon does. So really, the easy way to circumvent it is, hey, can you send me the code that they just sent you? All right, cool, thanks.
Exactly, yeah. It's what you do now, what I do at the moment when it comes to other things. Like, we have BBC iPlayer in the UK, which is like a streaming service. And like, you sometimes need a password or code or whatever, and you send it over, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, not a paid account, but similar thing of like having because you need you actually need a license to watch TV.
It's the most gangster thing ever. If you have a TV, you have to pay a TV license. Like, if you don't pay the TV license, they're like, you need to pay, and you're like, don't watch BBC.
That's always struck me as insane from a foreigner perspective.
It is crazy. But speaking of things that we're going to have to pay and not enjoy watching for some of us, the Justice League Snyder Cut has officially announced when it's going to be, where it's going to be debuting.
Hold up for a second, Massimo. I cannot get enough of your segues, man. I can't. Go on, please.
I'll reject it. Yeah. So we're just going to, the UK streaming service, which wasn't a problem for Ian here, he already had it on HBO Max or whatever. Available streaming service.
I am definitely going to legally watch it on HBO Max.
And also, so in the UK, we now have, you know, that Sky and Now TV, that is a kind of like pay-as-you-go kind of subscription service in the UK for television, is going to be putting out the Snyder Cut, which is going to be interesting to see how many people actually buy it legally and how many people decide to stream it illegally.
So is it going to be a box office thing on Sky? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, I believe they said it was through box office and also Now TV. You can go on that and buy that. So it'll be a little bit pricey, I think, and which I think will maybe dissuade some people from buying it legally.
It's possible.
And it could lead to a mass amount of illegal streams of the film.
Yeah, I saw it was going to be on Sky, and I thought, good, like, I'll be able to see it. But if they're asking me to pay for it, I don't know if I'm going to do that, I'll be honest with you. Of course I'm going to pay for it. Sorry, yes, I'm going to pay for it, and then we can talk about it the next day.
For those who are new to Disassembled, Alan does not have the highest opinion of Zack Snyder movies, which you will hear plenty about next week, because we'll be doing a little roundtable discussion of the Snyder Cut of Zack Snyder's Justice League. That's a mouthful.
Like the film itself, it is a mouthful.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if it weren't a four-hour movie, I'd love to do like a watch-along sort of thing where we all press play simultaneously and just comment on the movie with each other as it goes, and then people could play that over there. But like, you guys are great. I'm not going to sit on Discord for 4 hours.
They've released the chapter list for it.
Yes.
Which means if you want to break it down, you can.
Six chapters.
Which I think is a very smart idea from them. And reminds me of when the Netflix film The Irishman came out. I know this is not basically comic book related, but kind of relates back to the whole Netflix thing and the current release. Is that people came up with ideas of how to watch the film in chapters. So stop at this hour mark with this thing, so that you can then watch it and then pick up like a quick streamlined story, which I feel like was very smart by HBO to include chapters, so that people don't have to sit through 4 hour one sitting, but can go, okay, it's the end of chapter one, pause it there, go about my day, come back and watch chapter two or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I believe if they have a limited theatrical release, which I think they talked about, of the Snyder Cut, there will be like a 10-minute intermission in the middle of the film. Just, it's pretty much what they did with the Lord of the Rings movies. I mean, I looked it up, and I think this is clocking in almost at about the exact same length as the extended Return of the King, which, having watched that movie, I know exactly what I'm in for.
I've seen it before. When you take a break and they have an intermission, and the only time I've seen it is when they do back-to-back movie marathons. So in preparation for Avengers Infinity, Endgame or whatever it was, Endgame, they done both of those films back to back, and they had Infinity War then Endgame. But then after Infinity War finished, you could have a 10-minute intermission and then go and watch the rest of the Endgame.
Well, most single movies aren't 4 hours and 2 minutes long before credits.
Before credits, exactly.
Yeah, before credits. We're in for it, boys. Strap in.
I am excited, because I'm excited in the same sense of, you know, when you go on a roller coaster for the first time, you don't know if you're going to throw up or if you're going to have the time of your life with the adrenaline. That's how I feel about this film, because it could be phenomenal and it could be all of this idea of Zack Snyder's original vision of this film is phenomenal, or it could be adding gasoline to the dumpster fire that was.
Did you guys read / look at the whole, they had a whole spread for display that was Zack Snyder's plans for Justice League parts 2 and 3 with some illustrations, which of course, as always, masterfully done by Jim Lee. Dude is a god. Did you guys kind of read what the plans were for that?
Why don't you explain to the listeners so that they know what the plans were?
Alan, my boy, you're going to love this. So Gosh, I don't even know where to start. So of course there's the nightmare visions in Batman v Superman, and that'll be in Justice League as well, of Darkseid taking over Earth and turning things all apocalyptic. So the idea, I believe, was they bring Superman back, but he's kind of weird, and then Darkseid shows up, and Lois Lane and Bruce Wayne have struck up something of a friendship in Superman's absence, investigating Lex Luthor and his developing Injustice League, or whatever you want to call it, Legion of Doom.
Bruce, you son of a bitch.
Yes, so Superman comes back and gets back together with Lois, but Lois has fallen pregnant. I wonder if it's Superman's kid. It's not. It's not Superman's kid. So they go through this whole thing. Darkseid kills Lois in the Batcave. That's what makes Superman go crazy insane. We have a whole Injustice thing. Hence the vision from Batman v Superman, where Superman's just killing everyone. That's why we get that line in that movie, "She was my world and you took her from me." That's why, that's the explanation there.
Sounds awful.
And so they have...
See, I'm not opposed.
So they have to send Flashback using the cosmic treadmill to deliver a message to Bruce.
Which is what we see in Batman vs. Superman.
Yes, but they can only do it once a year because they have to send Flashback to that exact point in time, and they have to make sure that he's not going to be like in a wall or space. So they got to do it. They only have one time a year that they can send him back through time, so he doesn't end up like dead. And basically, there's a whole bunch of other stuff. By the time you get to the end of the movie, Batman's dead. Bunch of other people are dead. Superman knows that it's Batman's kid, but like he's okay with it. He forgives Lois. And then you see like 20 years later, Cyborg has become like a digital god, and Superman is like off world or something, and Lois Lane has a son, and she brings the son to the dilapidated Batcave, and now Lois Lane's son is the new Batman.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen.
All right.
I don't know, man. I'll tell you what. Those Jim Lee drawings looked real cool.
It sounds like a cool Elseworld story.
Exactly. Like,
that could happen.
Real cool Elseworlds, like alternate Injustice.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I'm all down for an Injustice because I love the games, and I read most of the comics. I read up to, I think, like year 3 or whatever it was, or year 4.
Yeah, the first couple years. Did Tom Taylor write all of those? Or I think he fell. I don't think he wrote like year 4. Or...
I think after Tom Taylor kind of dropped off a little bit.
Year three when they did like Constantine and magic and stuff, and then year 4 they did like the Greek gods. And point is, when Tom Taylor stopped writing it, I stopped liking it as much because everything Tom Taylor writes is gold.
I will say that the thing of Injustice and being Elseworlds is I'm all for the whole new initiative they're trying to do with DC, where they are gonna basically kind of reboot everything, or not reboot everything, but like have different stories, right, and like
just kind of open
stuff, like
continuity.
The Joker be its own thing. Yeah, it's nice, it's good, and it works even better because in Infinite Frontier, which is the new DC book, and even in Milestone Returns, they're establishing in those books how the idea of like an omniverse would exist, and how there's so much greater than just being loads of different Earths, but also Earths where there isn't these characters, but they still exist within the same kind of boundaries of each other.
Right. Yeah, no, they're doing kind of... I'm interested to see what they do with that, with like more of an open continuity, and moreover, how long that'll last, because DC loves to have big initiatives and then kind of peter out after a year or two. So we'll see how long until we get the next crisis. If you believe Jeff Johns, it'll be in about 4 years, but he's no longer with the company, so...
Is he gone?
I mean, he hasn't worked directly for DC in years. That's why Rebirth dropped off. He still writes stuff. He still does like some consulting and producing stuff, but he hasn't been the rudder for DC Comics since like 2017.
I was not aware of that.
I mean, I think they tried to ease him out slowly was the thing. So, I mean, it's you know, not being aware of it. I think most fans would consider him like he's still had a tangential link to the company. But yeah, as Ian said, they've just kind of phased him out a lot of major projects, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is. I'm still waiting for Batman Earth 1 Volume 3 to come out, so...
They released the new Wonder Woman?
Yeah, they did. Volume, you know what's funny? Yeah. All three of those books have come out since Batman Earth 1 Volume 2.
You're not happy, Chappy? Well,
that's because Grant Morrison is a machine. Anything else you guys can think of? It's a particularly big deal as far as comic-related news this past week.
Well, as of this podcast being recorded, there's been some breaking news in the film industry, is that Avatar has once again taken the top spot from Avengers Endgame as the highest grossing film of all time after a re-release in China, which I think is cheating. I think that is some, like, I know that Avengers Endgame technically re-released a version with some extra scenes with the Hulk in it, just to get more people back into it, but they just re-released the same film in China.
Yeah. Can we all agree that Avatar is okay, but it's not the second coming?
Yeah.
I would say, for me personally, my mom absolutely loves it. That's what you have to, that's what I can tell. My mom absolutely adores the film because she really likes James Cameron and stuff like that. And as I said, I remember seeing it when I was younger and watching it on IMAX on the big screen, this big massive experience. And yes, it was an experience. But since then, so many great films have come out that are so much more deserving of that top spot.
Well, and you got to keep in mind, I mean, this movie came out in, what, the fourth quarter 2009, I believe. And it was amazing looking at the time. I will give it that. IMAX, stupendous. CGI has come a long way in the past 12 years. Now, it hasn't aged as poorly as some movies from 2009 because it was very ahead of its time. But comparatively, it kind of looks like a video game cutscene a little bit.
I've not seen it in, I don't know, maybe 10 years. So I don't even know. But I wasn't blown away at the time. I don't know how it's aged, but I didn't like it very much then. So, well, saddened to hear that it's become the highest grossing thing, film of all time.
Well, I'll tell you what, to the audience out there, go back, rewatch Avatar. It's not hard to find. I think it's on Disney Plus. I might be wrong.
If it is, Disney are raking in the money again.
Yeah, I'm relatively sure it's on Disney Plus. Go watch it, see how it holds up. Let us know in the comments on social media what you think of it. Has it held up? Do you still like it? Does it deserve that top spot? I don't think it does, but whatever, you know.
I mean, we could sit and have a whole podcast on that and how there's the 80 bajillion sequels that are planned for it as
Oh,
well.
Yeah. I think Avatar 2 actually finished filming. At this rate, we'll have Avatar 3 by the time I'm old and gray. Sorry, Alan, you won't get to see that one.
I'll have kids by the time Avatar 3 comes
Alan out. Is immortal. He will outlive us all.
It's his pure hatred for Zack Snyder that keeps him going. It fuses him.
Zack Snyder has to keep making movies, or else Alan's actually 106 years old. And the minute Zack Snyder stops making movies to sustain his hate, he's just going to age rapidly before our eyes. He will turn to dust. It'll be like opening the Ark of the Covenant.
So I think we've covered most of the major news. I think there's some other kind of news pieces that we didn't talk about that are available on the website, such as how Rob Zombie is set to direct a new Munsters film.
Yes.
The Doom Patrol has also welcomed Michelle Gomez.
Who's great. Who is absolutely brilliant.
Who I thought was a great version of Missy because it's up to creative licenses of the person creating a show.
I thought she was really fun.
Separate characters. Really, yeah, I thought it was great. And then we've also got Catherine Han, who's spoken out recently about coming back into the MCU, which you can also find available on
our
website.
Really hope she does. She was such a blast in that show.
Exactly. There's my review of Milestone. That is also up there as well, which you can give a wee cheeky read. I've done it in a similar format to the Infinite Frontier stuff, where I broke it down by story. Also, Paul Bettany has also spoken about what the future is for Vision.
He wants to play Vision forever, and I'm down.
He wants to play for... Exactly, I'm so down.
Honestly, when he's like 80, just we'll be so far ahead at that point, just CGI Vision up and let him voice it. Whatever.
Exactly. And also, for those who are out, you know, into stuff that's outside of the main canon of DC and Marvel... We have Jupiter's Legacy, Requiem, is being announced by Image Comics, which will be obviously kind of Mark Miller's kind of continuation, or I believe prequel, I don't quite know, that to the Jupiter's Legacy. So really, I don't really know much about it, but I've heard it's very good, and I think I might be reviewing it for the site at some point.
I know the art is Frank Quietly, and that interests me.
Which is, of course, that's same with me. That's the art of that story interests me. Mark Miller. They can obviously have a whole podcast or a whole section dedicated to talking about him as well.
I don't know that man actually likes superheroes, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much covers the news for the week. And I promise at some point I will have a review for Superman Year One going up on the site. It's been a busy week. But I got things to say about that book, so I got to type that up and get that out there. That will be out there by the end of the week, I promise. As I said, you know, we're going to have a roundtable discussion on the Zack Snyder Cut of Justice League next weekend. We'll probably cover a little bit of Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, and probably the original Cut of Justice League as well in that conversation. Alan, have you got anything coming up on the website?
I'll be writing about Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman over the next week or so, people will get that to look forward to.
Man, do I. Well, we're going to bring this gathering to a close. We'll be back next week with that Zack Snyder roundtable, where Alan will tell us in great detail how much he hates all Zack Snyder movies, and I'll sit there and both nod and shake my head at the appropriate times. Don't forget, you can find us on BigGlasgowComicPage.com, where we have all these reviews and news. We're also on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook as BGCPComicCom. We're also there on YouTube under the same name, where you can find clips from the show. And as far as the Zack Snyder movies and Justice League goes, make sure you shoot us a line over on Twitter or Instagram or social media of your choice. Are you excited for the film? How do you feel about Zack Snyder's filmography? And
yeah, I look forward to hearing what people have to say.
I'm the same, yeah. I can't wait to hear Alan rant about it. Ian sit there with his Henny's hands, and me sit as the partial kind of middle ground between both, because I have good things and bad things.
Perfect. Well, I look forward to it, and I will see you gentlemen next week. And in the meantime, everyone have a wonderful rest of their day and a great upcoming week.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Bye, guys. Bye, guys.